Good evening and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so excited to have you here as we continue our conversations on the power of pain. So I hope that everyone is ready to share in a scripture that they will move to find this week, maybe share in something from the message that had them inspired. Please press star 5 anytime throughout the call, and we are definitely look forward to hearing from you. But before we get started, let's go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Thomas Carr.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Tiana, and thank everybody for calling in as we dive into our learning center. We want to pray first, and then we'll get started with the call. So right where you are, go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes and open up your hearts. Father God, we thank you for this moment right now. We thank you for lifting us up and waking us up this morning, Father God, waking our spirit man up, Father, so that we may be able to enrich our souls, Father God, and be more like you. We thank you for giving us the outlook, the vision, Father God. We thank you for giving us the fortitude, Father God, to sustain the sustainability to even reach our goals, our dreams, and what you've called us to be. We thank you right now, Father God, for everything that you have placed us in, everything that you have placed in us. Right now, Father God, we just want to lift up all those, Father God, who are keyed up, all of those who are sick, Father God, all of those who are shut in. Right now, we just lift them up, Father God, unto the throne, Father God. We ask that you protect, heal, and cover them, Father God. Heal their bodies inside and out, Father. We thank you. We know that it's already done. We ask that you give them a great peace, Father God. We give them a great peace, Father God, that the enemy cannot come in, Father God, disturb nothing that you have given them. We thank you, Father God, right now. We bless you. Bless you right now, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Carr. Well, thank you all for being on the line tonight and just excited. Ms. Latanya and I are so looking forward to sharing with you what we've taken away this week. And it was just so powerful to see this topic come after Resurrection Sunday. And I was so excited that last night we touched based on what does the cross signify for you? And we talked about the cross, we talked about the glory, the anointing, and power we obtain from it. And it was just so interesting what God shared with me, because as Christians, we have to do more than Christ did. So our power as Christians comes from the result of the pain Jesus experienced to and through the cross for those who believe in him. After his resurrection, Jesus happened to appear to disciples, and they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to restore Israel and restore our kingdom? And basically they were asking, has the time come for you to bring back glory to our nation? Has the time come for you to mend the pain of our confinement under the Roman regime? Well, Jesus reminded them of two things right there and then in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8. First, he replied, the Father has alone the authority to set those dates and times that they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Basically, Jesus told them, one, first and foremost, don't worry about your natural circumstances. Why? Because all you have to do is trust in me, and I will take care of them. So no matter what you're going through, what pain you may be experiencing, what trials and tribulations, God is right there. Just trust him, his time, his dates. That's all you need to worry about. But secondly, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that power that he was gifting in the days to come that will be used for many reasons was the power that will be required to withstand the pain which comes from doing the work of the Father, the power of peace of mind and peace of heart, so we won't be troubled or worried when trials and tribulations come our way. For Jesus' plan was that every believer will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then that believer, thus, is responsible for his providing and witnessing his personal testimony for others. And then the others who have been won will then be in turn empowered also by the Spirit to win others. And it just continues and continues and continues, because that's how wonderful and that's how amazing that power that he gifted us through the Holy Spirit is. And the key word there, power. Power. Where does that word even come from? And that was so interesting to find out that the Greek power is actually dynamis, which translated in English, we get the words like dynamo, dynamic, dynamite, which, if defined, is to have a forceful, powerful impact. Boom! Thus, the gift of the Holy Spirit gives us, and borrowing the words of Busta Rhymes, a powerful impact, boom, from a cannon to fulfill all of our God-given missions. And what is that power? And that's one thing I'm so happy to have revelation. What is that power? The power we receive is courage, is boldness, is confidence, is insight, is ability, is authority to walk through any situation, any pain, any trial, any tribulation. If we believe Jesus is our Savior, we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through everything. Isn't that something, Amen. Latanya?
It is. I was listening, and you mentioned the Holy Spirit several times, and just the emphasis that was stated there, I just begin to realize how much of an advocate the Holy Spirit is for us. Oftentimes we fail to realize that. And as well as the Holy Spirit teaches us, I realized something else this past week as we were talking about the power of pain, and that is pain can also be a great teacher. And what I mean by that is oftentimes the power comes in when the pain is so built up. And this is when God ends up revealing to us the purpose of why we may be going through or have gone through whatever painful situation it is that we're experiencing. And the other thing was that pain is usually warning us. It's telling us that something has to change in order for us to survive. So ultimately, it ends up pushing us in the right direction and also transforming us into a renewed and a stronger person. And the question I wanted to pose is, why aren't we using our pain to become better, to be greater, you know, that God has called us to be? And one of the things that came about was that we had been programmed by the world into believing that something is wrong with us. And it goes downhill from there, because we begin to believe that God is against us. And that's so not true according to his word. And if we look at the scripture, it tells us in Psalm chapter 34, verse 19, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. And clearly it's telling us that no matter what it is that we face, God is going to be there to save us. And I went back and I read about the woman with the issue of blood, and I've read it several times, but the one thing that was revealed to me this time was how God's power was made evident to so many other people through the pain that she experienced for those long 12 years. So we know that she had spent all of her money on different treatments from different doctors, and nothing helped. We also learned that her situation got worse before it got better. And in those times, it was the Jewish law that declared her to be unclean due to the issue that she had with her blood. So that meant that she would not have been permitted to enter into the temple for Jewish religious ceremonies. And according to that same law that I just talked about, there was anyone or anything that touched her would become unclean. And that included Jesus. But what she did was, and we talked about that last week, that daring faith, she came up from behind him in that crowd and she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And that's what she did. And from that moment, she was healed. So here we see the power that we're talking about, the power that comes from pain being released into her life, but also into everyone else's life who was there to witness what had happened. And just a takeaway point for us to know is that even when God is in the middle of doing so many other things, he is moved to act on our behalf because of our daring faith. And that's when that power can be truly released and ushered into our lives and into those painful situations. So that's just one of the things that really stood out for me, or some of the things that was really profound this past week as we talked about the power of pain.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Because that it is absolutely amazing how God's power works through pain. But I see a few folks have just joined us and just wanted to let you know that if you have anything you want to share on the power of pain, please go ahead and press star 5. We really would like to hear from you. But one of the things, and as we wait for someone to chime in, one of the things that really stood out for me was how Jesus actually prepared us for pain. He prepared us and warned us in the word that pain will come. For those who followed him, pain would be a part of that. Yes, we got to deny ourselves, and that's a huge part of the pain that we will experience. And Mr. Carr talked about that in detail last night. So if you didn't hear it, please definitely get the call. But the pain that we also would bear, he shares quite a bit on as he was telling his disciples what was going to happen next in John chapter 14 through 16. So if you get time, definitely read those chapters. But just to share from you some things from John chapter 15, Jesus tells us, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. So guess what? That's a pain that we're going to experience. We're going to experience pain of distest, of despise, of dislike, because we are no longer part of the world. He also told us that since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. Some more pain, oppression, abuse, mistreatment that we will absolutely experience. He tells us as well in chapter 15 that anyone who hates me also hates my Father. So no matter what's going on, once we're walking in that assignment of walking in him, we are walking in pain. But here's the thing. He tells us, just as a follow-up in chapter 16, that power that comes from it. Well, before we get there, I forget to share that in chapter 16, verse 2, he reminds us that we'll be expelled from synagogues. We will be ousted. We will be barred. But that expulsion from synagogues not only just includes a physical building. It also includes expulsion from our family, expulsion from our friends, all just because of our faith. And there you go, more pain that we will experience. But he tells us right there in verse 7 that it will go away. He tells us it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, which Ms. Latanya just mentioned, which is the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will be able to send him. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sins and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. So right there shows us the power, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus suffered on the cross for the salvation of our sins. He also tells us that we are to expect the pain, because when he's gone, we will grieve. And don't we grieve when we lose anyone? Yes, we will go through that pain, but our grief will suddenly turn to joy, which is the power of the pain, power of patience, and the power of his promises. Our just quick remembrance of all that he walked through, we too are to experience if we are to walk as Christ walked, and we too will experience that joy of everlasting life. That's the power of pain. All right? Isn't that so, Ms. Latanya?
It is. I'm looking, and you were talking about going through what Christ said we would go through. And I actually had come across a scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 that states, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I was like, wow, you know, when you mentioned that. But if we read a little bit further, and we all can do that in our free time, but it goes on to say that in spite of, we must be faithful. So, again, as we talk about this, we're talking about power and pain. Our faith has to be active, and it has to line up with what pleases God. But I just want to share, while we're still waiting for others to share as well, just a few points on the ways that we can transform our pain into power. And one of the things, or the first thing, is we must acknowledge the pain. So a lot of times we close our heart off to pain. We close our heart off, and what that does is that ultimately closes off the love and light of God as well. So we tend to have a tendency that, you know, we think if we ignore the pain, it's going to go away. But what that does is when we acknowledge what we're going through, it leads us to identify exactly what the root of the problem is. And that's when we can take it to God and really communicate with Him. But this is when He begins to act and give us that strength to endure, and also the steps that we can take to overcome. And the other point was we have to stop having that victim attitude. So I'm speaking for myself from personal experience. I've had that pity party, and I wanted everyone to join in on my pain. But we can't let those situations and those surroundings rule us. We have to learn how to overcome that and instead rule what it is that we're going through. And what I mean by that is we have to take full responsibility. You know, we have to acknowledge that God is in control. And one of the things that I also realized this week, just, you know, researching this, was when Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem, what he said was, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. And that is the other key point. We have to be willing to allow God into our situations. We have to communicate with him, but we also have to allow that pain to inspire us to become better. So someone else needs to see how we handle adversity that comes our way. A lot of times we think it's all about us, but God will have us go through things for someone else. And that's when we can see that as a body of Christ, God wants us to be unified and all working together. So the last point was we have to be patient with God. A lot of times we don't want to wait. We don't want to go through that period of waiting that we talked about last week as well. And I just want to close with the scripture that comes from John chapter 16, verse 33, and it states, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So God has already won the victory over our pain. He just needs us to walk through it so that he could get the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. LaTanya. And as we continue, we actually have two callers that have something to share. So let's go to them real quick. And before we continue, good evening, caller. Glad to have you. What scripture or comment do you have to share this evening?
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to share a few things from this week. First thing was when we think about pain, we should think about what it does to us. And pain pricks at your consciousness. It's that thing that is like it's nagging, it's nugging. It pushes you in a forward motion because you don't want to continue to be in pain. And I think sometimes when we think about it, we just think of it from the perspective of I don't want it, but we don't think of what it causes us to do. Pain causes us to seek out a remedy. Pain causes us to reach out. And if we put it in the proper context, that's a perfect place to be in because as Christians, it should cause us to reach out to God. It should cause us to draw nearer to him. So instead of always looking at pain as just a punishment or something that is being done to us in a negative sense, think about what happens when you're in pain. When you're in pain, you seek a way out. And, again, for the Christian body, that means we are seeking out God. But then also, pain causes us to not want to be in that position again. And that turns, or it should turn us, to a place of repentance. And I mean that in the sense of if you're doing something that's causing you pain as a result of sin, that's the situation that you put yourself in. So it should put you in the position to where you go before God and then you confess everything to him, and not wanting to be in that pain again empowers you to repent, empowers you to turn away from the thing that you've been doing. So it all just works together for our good, especially if we learn to change our perspective on what pain is. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And that is so, so true. How do we not want to experience pain again? And we can only do that by going to Christ. It will come, but how we walk in that situation makes all the difference of the power that he has definitely bestowed upon us. We have our next caller. Good evening, caller. What scripture or comment would you like to share this evening?
Good evening, everyone. I would like to share James 1, 2 through 4, and it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And it's just saying that we need to count it all pure joy, that because we know that God will always provide a way out, and he will always be there with us through the whole trial, and he'll never leave us.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Paula. We really appreciate you sharing with us that this evening. One thing I just have here to close out is one scripture coming from 1 Corinthians 4:20, which states, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And it was just, it meant so much to me because it really just showed the action that we have to take as Christians. As Ms. Latanya just stated earlier, is that we have to show others the power that God is working through in any situation that we are walking through. So, you know, we just have to ask ourselves, are we really setting examples? Are we showing gentleness, humility, enthusiasm, perseverance, and maturity in the presence of pain? Are we expressing what we have learned, even in the midst of suffering? Are we using our testimony as an example of God's grace over our lives? Are we all talk? Or are we walking in our faith, living out the word of God and reflecting his power? Are we being effective witnesses to the power of pain? So I hope you all took something away from what was shared this evening. And right now, we'll go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Talia Carr.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Tiana. That was excellent. I mean, I really don't have too much more to add over here taking a little notes. That was excellent. Great, great, great perspectives about this past week, about what we've learned about pain. I do want to get the last call on with that scripture, if you don't mind getting them back on, because I want to hear that scripture one more time.
Absolutely. Good evening, caller.
It was James 1, 2 through 4.
Okay, and what did it say again?
Hold on, let me bring it back up.
Okay.
"Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything."
So we're going to read this slowly together, okay? So read the first part.
Okay. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds."
So consider it pure joy. So we're supposed to get happy when we go through. And he said trials of many kinds. So whether it be disappointment,
right? Whether it be physical, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Whether it be a tad bit of genderism, racism, whatever ism may be going on, right? It is considered pure joy. Go ahead.
Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
It is because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, how do you know that? Who told you that? Lest it come by way of God.
Right.
Remember, the word of God became life.
That's right.
Okay. So everything that he does, he went through. So we know it because we know that by the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Well, how can you test something without stressing it? Stressing something causes it pain. Okay, you built a wooden house. It's off the ground, old school house, because it used to flood in your area. How do you know if that house is going to stand the test of time unless it goes through a little something?
Indeed.
Right? Even in architecture, contractors know they have something called load-bearing walls. Y'all know what a load-bearing wall is?
Yes, sir.
That's the wall in which the majority of the weight is going to be supported by. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
You go in your attic just right now, and you go ahead and step on that little soft pink stuff called insulation, and you don't see one of them wooden things called a 2x4, you're going to go straight through that ceiling.
That's the truth.
That means it wasn't built for stress. God said by the testing of our faith. So how do we know this? Because he instilled something in us. So we're supposed to be strong to bear a whole bunch of things. How do we know how much we can bear unless we be tested?
Amen.
How do I know how good my 2x4 is unless I step on it? Now, I'm sure if the 2x4 had feelings, it would say, ouch. But didn't I purchase that 2x4 to support? Wait.
Yes, indeed.
Didn't God create us to bear pain?
Yes.
This is the rock that my house shall be built upon. So if we be like God, and he was a load-bearing wall, that means he took on a whole bunch of stuff and carried it on his shoulder, pain, why shouldn't we? This is the only way that we know by the testing of our faith of who we are. How can you call yourself a Christian and you never go through any pain and sustain?
Amen.
Go ahead, Miss.
Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Perseverance has to finish its work. Have you ever been working on a job? Let's just say you're a painter. And somebody come in there and be like, I don't like the way that's looking. And you say, will you let me finish, please? And then I'll show you the end product? Oh, my.
Yes.
Well, don't y'all, we do that, right?
Yes.
It's out there. If you're a musician, you already know. You never let people hear your studio stuff that's not ready. You like it to be mixed and mastered first. You can sing a song to somebody and they don't get the understanding until it's completely mixed and mastered. Then they be like, oh, that's nice. Right?
True.
Perseverance has to complete its course. Read the last part one more time, please.
Okay. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Perseverance has to complete its course. Is a sixth grader mature? Unless they complete its course? Don't you have to finish up grade school and high school?
Yes, indeed.
pain has to complete its course. If you bow out in the middle of pain, where's your maturity? Where's your maturation? Where is it? But when you can sustain pain, that's why everybody can't be an Army or Navy SEAL. When you can sustain pain, now maturation is all about you. Because what it happens is through pain, you experience something called perseverance. Ain't that something?
It is.
God purposely sometimes calls pain so that he can establish something else called perseverance. Anybody own dogs when you want your dog to look a certain way? Don't when you clip them dogs' ear, it hurts that dog. You don't hear them dogs whining. But when they heal up, you know, they put them little sticks in the dog's ears, especially the Dobermans, don't they look so much better? The dog don't think that it's helping them. They think that it's pain right now. But it actually alerts them because typically when the dog is on alert, the ears are down. But when the dog is on alert, the ears go up. But see, now the dog's ears are always open.
Right.
What I'm saying is we're not a dog. But what happens is God causes pain. He clips us so that he can get us to a point to where we're always alert.
Yes, Lord.
So we don't understand it right now. Just like we ain't understand a shot when we had to get it when we was younger. But you understand it right now. I mean, you understand it now, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But yet we're still children to God. So we still must experience pain. But there's power in the pain. Just let pain take its course. But while pain is taking its course, perseverance should be establishing its ears as well. Everybody got it?
Yes, sir.
There's power in pain. Stop looking at the pain and start looking at the process. In other words, I have to go through this to get to this.
All right.
You understand? Everybody wants to be a millionaire, but not many people want to go through the pain. We don't even like to study what it takes to be a business owner, yet alone a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
There's pain, there's long hours in studying that, right?
Yes, right.
But that's in the natural. But then we want to be wealthy in God. I'm not talking about financially wealthy. I'm talking about spiritually wealthy. I'm talking about all about forgiveness, all about love, all about this, these good things. But do you understand that if you decide to go that route, which we all are, to establish maturity, you're about to go through something called pain?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Because it costs to be the boss. See, it costs Jesus something to be the boss. He got on a cross. But see, oh, man, I ain't going to reteach the message. But he got on a cross. But it cost him something. Because he was at a fork in the road. He knew he had to get on a cross. And he clearly said, Father, without take this bitter cup from me. In other words, translated, he was saying, I don't want to get on the cross and die.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the pain he knew would be excruciating. But he got his mind right, and he went on and let it take its course.
Mm-hmm.
It costs to be the boss. In other words, that's why he said, before you take up your cross, first deny yourself. See, Jesus had to deny himself before he got on the cross, because had he not denied himself, he wouldn't have got on that cross. And he'd have been like, shoot, y'all better fend for yourself.
Right.
But he said, every pain that you will go through, your little boyfriend or your fiance, your mom and them, all that pain that you're going through, racist, all that stuff that you're going through, I went through on the cross. I went through it so much that it wasn't even racism. It was spiritualism. Look, my own people put me on the cross.
Come on.
And y'all talk about racism. My own people hung me.
Come on.
Y'all do know it wasn't the Roman soldiers who hung him, right?
Yes. Yes.
I remember Pontius Pilate. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
He let the Jewish people judge Jesus. Who do y'all want? Jesus? Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
He had to endure that pain because it cost to be the boss. But look at the power that sprouted up.
Amen.
You know it's power when a grave can't hold you, right?
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes.
That's power.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we can end it right there. Ms. Tiana, y'all want to go ahead and ask something? Then we'll pray.
All right. Just that, keeping in mind, one of the last things that I had is that power is, I love the song, the power, power, wonder, working power. And we just have to constantly remember that that is what's been gifted to us. So let's always remember to keep it active. It can lay dormant, and if you allow it to lay dormant, then that pain will subside. But we can't allow it to subside because he's given us the power to walk in and through it all. All right. Thank you all. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to continue to serve you. We are truly grateful for the life that you have given us, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, you have so graciously sent your Son to show us what that pain is, what it is, what the power is in it, Heavenly Father. May we walk in it day in and day out, being truthful, being honest, being courageous, being all that you called us to be, Heavenly Father, because we are grateful for the power that you have given inside of each and every one of us. May we use it to fulfill on your will, dear Lord. We thank you. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for the 5 years that you have given us, and we are thanking you in advance for the many more to come. Heavenly Father, continue to bless all of those who have heard this word this evening. Continue to bless our leader. Continue to guide him. And Heavenly Father, once again, we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Have a great night. Make sure you go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org. Check us out. And we will see y'all on Wednesday for Bible study.
All right. Good night.
Good night.